Well, hello everybody to another episode of Inner Dialogue with Douglas Newsom and my twin brother, Dahl Newsom. I hope you're online.
I'm with you, my brother.
Yeah, Tyler Gallagher.
My brother from another.
My Tyler Gallagher couldn't show up this week. He's actually busy, busy, busy. We're sorry we're starting a little bit late. It just so happens that Donald and I are discussing business and ways to expand BBS Radio, and we just let time get by, and we, you know, a lot of important topics.
The truth is, we, folks, we had a beautiful situation here that occurred for my twin brother and I and our family, and we had a mother that passed away
gracefully.
Wow, what an honor. What an honor.
Yeah, our mother was quite special. She was the mother to the an angel, the sort of lady that everybody can relate to, the sort of person that loves infinitely and thinks of herself, I mean others, before she thinks of herself in every instance. Love her dearly, going to miss her, know she's with us now, smiling every time we're online talking about her. She passed away right after the family came Wednesday night to be with her, spent the day with her. She told me just the prior day, within a couple of days, she said she would pass. You can imagine this was a lady that at that point was doing pretty good, and mentioned that, and I go, you must be kidding. And exactly that, 2 days later, right after the family, all the family came in, and as soon as they left, within 1 hour, she was laying on the bed and took her last breath. So you couldn't have asked for a more opportune time.
Well, you know, you don't plan your death unless you've spent, I think, a good or to minimum amount of time on this planet. You have decided who you are, what you are, when you're going to die, what you're going to do, who your kids are going to be, and you've got it planned out and you see it to a T. You actually follow your path. You define it, you create it, and you love it. And by the end of it, it's all perfect. And that's mother.
You know, one of the things that growing up, Don, family puts, you know, a lot of, they say a lot of things. For example, if they're really good parents, they'll say you're special. And our mother used to say that often to us. But to some degree, she'd also say, you can do more. You can, you know, you can do better. You could, you know, it's one of those ways to motivate the young to really go out there and excel. And when you have such a beautiful mother that thinks like that and puts you first, you know, in the end, you wish she'd have every dream come true. But really, over the past 20 years, life has been very difficult for my brother and I and our family, and those things that you know, you really want your good people that you love to have, she really did not have, and yet she still smiled every day of her life. So I hope she's smiling now. I know she's with us now. By the way, Donald, the TNT Post Board, I just thought I'd bring this up because this is interesting. I'm sure, and you posted this article, Don. I don't know if everybody out there is aware of this, but there's a place on BBS Radio called TNT, or the Trusted News Trader. And every once in a while, there's a great article. Not every once in a while. I think all the articles are fairly great. One was a neurosurgeon who actually had a stroke, which led to an awakening. Did you see that video, Don?
I did, yeah.
That was stupendous. She gave the idea, and I don't know if it's accurate or not. I know that the brain hemisphere, the understanding of the right and the left hemisphere, one being analytical, one being kind of not visual, but more spatial and feeling and oriented. But she alluded to the idea that when she had her stroke, her left hemisphere basically shut off from the right.
She followed her way through it, and her name was Jill.
Jill.
And she followed her way through the
four-hour psychosis,
traumatic experience, sure.
Yeah, she lost her feelings, I mean, her ability to really talk and to
yeah,
think.
Yeah, you gotta admit, I mean, that's about as cool as driving down the road at about 400 miles an hour. Don't you think?
I mean,
it's just about as cool. I mean, you got to think in about, I mean, what's 1 second compared to a lifetime of comatose brain activity? In that 1 second, I mean, the experience that you achieve, or the 2 seconds?
I don't know. Never been in a car traveling 400 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
I don't know. I don't think cars travel that fast, but, there's some interesting racetracks that'll get you up. I've heard of a car moving past the speed of sound, past Mach.
The reason I bring it up, though, is because after she lost she lost her sense to ability to communicate, and she started to go into she couldn't relate to the past.
Well, she was between worlds. She was between worlds. She was halfway in between. She was communicating in her spirit. And she was communicating in the physical at the same time. And during that transition, she was in both worlds, kind of dreamlike, but fully in both worlds.
Well, I don't know if she said that, but more she was relating to the idea that she was a spirit that was connected with everything, and she couldn't contain the spirit within the human form, and she was so in the present.
Yeah, she did.
She couldn't relate to anything else.
I know. She truly felt overjoyed with energy,
yeah,
didn't she?
Yeah, she said it was bliss. Ecstasy.
Yeah.
Here's a lady that after the stroke took 8 years of rehabilitation to overcome the stroke, what occurred, but it was a four-hour process of going in and out of recognizing yourself as an entity separate from the whole to recognizing yourself as being all of the whole.
Yeah.
And she's a neurosurgeon, so it really impacted her. And the bottom line is that it was very similar to any awakening experience that one might have, a kundalini experience that one might have. And her premise saying, if we could only get into the right hemisphere of our brain and learn to live there, this world would, have peace and harmony, the likes of which, that's never been there before.
Yeah, again, but it's always, what people, what the higher orders fail, I guess, to elude, is that there's this absolute rainbow. There's this balance. There's this being the full spectrum and allowing it all and being of it all and being for the highest good of all of it that really starts to bring an awareness to that integralness of who we are.
But she brings the awareness into an idea of separating the brains, and we actually are capable of doing this
I saw it and I thought it was beautiful.
Was it guided by, let's say, a higher force?
Sure.
Or was it
isn't
really,
it all?
Here's the question. Is it? She kind of likened it to being related to the brain and one hemisphere not working, and that, that stroke resulted in that.
Well,
I'll
put my foot down.
Well, if
and I'm
going
to explain it to you in only one way that I can, Douglas.
What
it's a spiritual matter.
I'm asking a simple question.
It's a spiritual matter. Do you know why?
So, but
do you know why it's
a
spiritual matter, my brother?
Don.
Do you know why? It's a spiritual matter. Because all matter is spiritual.
All right.
And that means anything you see as far as science, numerology, astrology, astronomy, will always have a parable.
She said the experience was a result of one hemisphere not communicating with the other. Now my question is, when we go through an awakening process like a kundalini, is that what really occurs? Do we have a separation of the two hemispheres of the brain? Now, I don't agree with that.
I think we have a connection.
What made it interesting for me is she kind of connected the idea of an awakening through a physical awareness of the hemispheres of the brain and their activity.
Yeah, I thought it was full of shit.
That's my question.
I'm
good.
Good.
At least.
Yeah, no. I was on the crapper at the time, and it moved me more.
But it did give the common person something to relate the idea of an awakening process to, something physical that we know of.
Yeah.
And maybe more people can identify
I think the person took a very wonderful experience and started to analyze it.
But she's a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon, and she comes across with the understanding that it really is, more of a process of the brain.
Yeah,
not commuting.
See, the beautiful thing is when it starts to think too much, it gets it all messed up.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I really don't. I'm not going to pretend to know. But when you start talking about that your best essence is in the right side of your head.
That didn't click with me either,
I begin to wonder.
I loved the program. She got a standing ovation.
And isn't it a beautiful? I love the word program.
It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
But still, I don't know if.
Yeah, I love repetition too. That's about as brilliant as program.
Yeah, and she went through an awakening process, and all the things that a spiritual person would become aware of—the idea of connectivity, the idea of love, the idea of being a spirit and having
all made sense.
Yeah, that all made sense.
Yeah.
And yet, trying to put it all into the idea of the brain.
She gave it a fulfilling concept that might brain damage people.
It might. I don't know.
But then again, I think it's a matter of the engineers staying out of the equation this time. You know, we don't need the professionals. We don't need the engineers. We don't need the scientists. We don't need those beautiful, brilliant people that want to build the A-bomb. What we need today is people with the greatest of hearts and how far they can make that manifest. That's
well,
it.
On so many levels, trying to rise above the mind or the ego and time.
But why would you want to rise above something that you've already risen above?
Well, maybe you want to have both.
Want to be here to forget.
Wait,
you just want to be here so that you bring the unknown to the known.
Maybe you want to do what she said, and that's be able to, in some way, live on the bigger premise at some point, and then fall back into your individual identity on the other.
Right.
Because that's why we're here, right?
Right.
We're in our individual identity, and
sure.
This is our focal point. But on a greater level, we're a part of everything. But wouldn't that be interesting if, like she puts it, we could do it in our everyday lives? We could meditate, we could reach, and yet we knew
she,
to some degree.
I agree, but didn't she also put it in such a way as that maybe it'd be nice if science and Big Pharma figured it out?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Kind of.
She never said that.
No.
What I'd like to ask her is, if you believe now that it is possible to do what you're saying on a physical idea of separate or moving from your consciousness into one half of your brain versus the other, have you done it again since 1996, since you had your stroke?
Right.
And I bet you the answer would be no.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the idea that we can do this and that it's brain-related and the activity of the brain-related just seems a little bit hokey to me, maybe because she's a neurosurgeon, she had to liken it to what she understands.
I don't, I don't find it hokey. I actually find that she went through this, she found it real, she explained it as best she could, and her brain explained it in a way that a lot of people with too damn much brain activity. Do.
Yeah.
They take and they try to explain something. Well, first of all, in order to explain something, you need to look at it, focalize it, and localize it. Once you've done that, you've separated it. Okay, now it's separate from the whole, and we can look at it as some relic. Now we look at it, and we add to that our perception of that. To me...
Which isn't a bad thing to do.
No,
again... I mean, you don't want to live on bliss on tap all the time and not separate anything.
Right. It's not a bad thing. It's why we're here. We're here to experience it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were a bad thing, I wouldn't be here.
Well, here's a question I always think about.
I don't like bad things, Doug.
You know, when you're younger, you think how important it is to gain knowledge. Right? Tools to success. Knowledge. Go to school, read books, become super smart. But doesn't knowledge all lead to time? In a way, yes, because we have to refer to it to give us some sort of understanding to build something in a future dynamic, which takes us out of the now. How does knowledge in any way make you live in the now?
Well, I don't know.
I really want to know.
Good question.
I really want to know. For experience sake, how can knowledge in any way, if we're all spiritual and we're trying to gain the now perspective, we're trying to live in the now, how can knowledge...
Why the hell are we here?
...in any way be now related?
Well...
I need to know that, because I don't understand the usefulness to having awoken to some degree and realizing that, like a computer, I don't want to, in many ways, I'm just, you know, using a computer, which I don't really want to utilize often. I want to separate myself from past facts to come up with a beautiful future.
That's where people have been confusing you. See, the now is the past, the present, and the future. It's not that instant you need to segregate. It's not that instant you need to emulate. It's not that instant you need to somehow...
But to be in the now is an experience, not a process of knowledge. Cause
it
would,
is the
no,
total
no. Knowledge
allowance.
Allows you to analyze and separate and distinguish, quantify, qualify.
Right. It's right? All, but see... It's all, it really, being in the now allows you not having to analyze, quantify, and qualify.
Right! So what good is knowledge if you really want to be a being?
Well, what is knowledge when you already have all that is?
By the way, it is useful because you need
Doug,
both.
Maybe it isn't the knowledge that's the key. It's the unknown that meets the knowledge that brings the key.
I think you're absolutely, it requires, but we're here to gain knowledge to appreciate.
All right, I'm the almighty creator, and that's it. And I know what I know, and I know it, and I bloody well, damn well know it.
Get
this, Doug. I am the total and all sum creator of all Nebadon and all the other Dabadabrams, the Dons. Yeah, we got them all going. So I'm now creator Atan, and I have seen and oversee all of my universes, the 6 or 7 or 8 or 12 or whatever the fuck there is.
Maybe you just feel them.
No, hold on. So... Now what?
On the opposite side of the spectrum, got to bear in mind, when she said she was awoken, just like an awakening experience, you don't really care about the knowledge so much. You care about the experience of being united with all
because
things.
The knowledge you can tap into, and you can tap into experience. But let me ask you this. Don't you want to get a new one? Don't you really? Come on, because me,
I can't understand.
I don't want to live your experience. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's a pseudo, it's like this pseudo rush, pseudo boner, pseudo hard on. It almost feels like simulated sex, and it's good stuff. But
speaking
you know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy, Doug.
Speaking about sex, you know how many wonderful shows there are on BBSTalkRadio.com?
Oh, Sam, you know, you gotta love Sam. Sam has
got shows on that
bloody-tastic programming.
That are fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, my gosh, unlike BBS Radio, which you call up your show host and you call up your co-host,
you meditate
and everybody's remote.
Right, we're all
BBS
remote.
BBS Talk Radio, everybody's got to go up to the 36th floor, go into the studio, and do their programming there.
Yeah, so they actually have to go somewhere just so that they can portray themselves to the audience.
But it's what a... You know, when you're actually visually in front of a co-host, there's something to be said about that.
I agree.
I think the interactivity that is seen on that network is very, very compelling. Some of those, I got to tell you, some of his shows, the speakers are brilliant. You've got more Howard Stern-type shows, but not Howard Stern-type so much as personalities that exude as much pull on a person's attention as a Howard Stern show might, due to the oratory ability of most of the people on that network.
Oratory
brilliant.
Ability, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'm really surprised. There's this show with this I don't know if he's Chinese or what, but Chan and some other guy.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Funny show.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed by BBS Talk Radio.
I'm impressed by you, Doug.
You are?
Well, no.
Yeah.
No, it's all right, Doug. You know what impresses me about all of this?
Mm.
All of this. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
We actually have an alternative station that will fill your every need.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah.
We're going to have a physical location in every city, and we're going to have the Love Motel. I think we'll own a chain of them.
Mm.
What do you think?
Sure.
We'll start it out as like maybe duplexes or something.
You are right now in the now, aren't you?
I'm always in the now, my friend. I can't be in any other. You know, I don't separate the now from the other parts of me.
Yeah.
That's just too weird. Like somebody says, well, you're not in the now. I'm not. Really? Well, fuck, where am I?
I'm too damn analytical.
I mean, I try to figure out where the now is. If they tell me I'm not there, then where am I? And if they give me some sort of a good answer, which usually they do.
You know, it's interesting because when you get spiritually woke up, you know, your brain doesn't shut off. It shuts off for the minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes that you're experiencing the awakening. But then after that, your brain works at an electric pace. It's almost 1,000 times faster.
Yeah, you're faster.
Analyzing everything and breaking everything
connected.
Down simpler.
You're more connected. Dead. Yeah, faster. It's like being motivated, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you got any new shows coming up on your network?
Oh, we got a lot of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything interesting?
Sure.
I hear you got the King of Japan coming on, or what's the King of Hawaii?
No, we're talking with some people in the camp. Hopefully they want us, the camp wants to bring apart a show that might bring some awareness to what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let me think. You know, I'm reading some of these TNT posts. TNT, folks, TNT. Very good place to get information. It's always the sort of information that makes you think. The kind of information that makes you go, God, life sucks sometimes. Which sometimes I don't agree with. Here I am, the desirer of information, and I read the TNT board, and I get madder than hell.
I don't, you know, I
what's up with
well,
that?
That's why we started this.
You're
I,
an oxymoron,
what's
John.
Unacceptable, Doug, is unacceptable.
So
you don't have to love it, hate it, be for it or against it. You just have to know that that's not the way it should be, and you take steps to change it.
That's right.
I don't feel any less because I've experienced it, nor do I feel any less because I'm removing it. It just, you know, it's time for it to go. It's kind of like the newspaper. You know, you print yourself on a perishable product that's constantly depleting the Earth's resources. Well, you deserve your demise.
Yeah, one of the things
you actually deserve it. I mean, why do you think you're going under? Because everyone wants to cut down more trees to read your stupid print of selected sources with skewed opinions? I mean, even if papers, if all the newspapers in the world said, oh my God, gee, we're going to turn over a new leaf and we're going to print the bloody truth. Well, even if that were to happen, you're fucking up my toilet paper. Okay? There's only so much toilet paper I'd rather wipe my butt. That's the bottom line. And you talk to enough consumers, and I'll bet you they'll agree with me. If I have a choice between wiping my butt and reading the paper, you know, I gotta look good. So, I choose, honestly, anything that doesn't deplete that perishable and, I must say, comforting product.
Well, is there any topic that you want to discuss before we close the end of the show, Don?
Well, you got 20 minutes. You can't close early.
Why not? We got 15, and usually you close at 15.
Not how radio works. You got 15 minutes. You got a monologue.
Yeah, well, I'm all out of things to discuss.
Well, can you imagine if you were a host of a radio program and just didn't have anything else to say?
Yeah, I'd close it
and
off.
And then say to your audience, you know?
Yeah, I'd just close it off.
To my audience.
I just close it off.
Gee, you know, you've heard all, really, that all the wisdom I have. All the things I can say or couldn't say. Really, I really don't want to say because I just want to get off the bloody air. I don't know, how do you think that sits with them?
I don't know, though.
I don't know. We could ask them. If any of you are wondering or have an opinion about anything, give us a call. The toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. That's toll-free if you're in the U.S. And if you're not, you can always call us directly at 530-876-3222. And if you're in Canada, go to the website. We love you. But we want you to go to the website only because we want you to, I don't know, taste a little bit of America. You go there, you'll see an 88 number. Give us a call. After you, Doug. Almost. You know, I could see myself in this role, eating, you know, donuts, taking police reports, signing reports, official documents, stamping them, tell them to, you know, cause a little stir over here, over there. Maybe we ought to go into Bosnia or Arabia or you know, Congo or somewhere, anywhere somebody has some kind of, you know, problem. Maybe we could accentuate.
You're sounding muffled for some reason. You sound muffled.
Muffled?
Yeah, like you're speaking too close to the phone.
No.
Yeah. Very muffled.
How's this?
Your diction's not... That's better.
Is that better?
Much better. Much better. Yeah, so we just had a short chat with Sam of BBS Talk Radio. Boy, good guy, isn't he? I'm looking forward to going down there. I'm actually flying out Wednesday to sit down with him and to talk turkey, see all the new show hosts down there at BBS Talk Radio. and spend a little bit of time, see what's up there. That's going to be nice.
Yeah. You know, he's just a brilliant guy. Lovely guy. He's got a heart of gold, and he's doing a bang-up job.
Yeah. Well, my dear brother, you know I love you. I miss you. I'm glad I got a chance to see you. The kids.
Well, thank you. You know, Doug, it's been a long time. It was a pleasure driving up there to see you and with Mother. You know, again, folks, our mother passed Wednesday around 8 p.m. there, 7, 8 p.m. And it was a beautiful passing. And, you know, the whole family was there. It was exactly what it needed to be. And it was beautiful in every respect. So I was really happy to be there and be with you, Doug. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too.
I love you.
Love you too, my brother.
You know, I don't have any answers or any of the answers, but I'll live the answers. The answers are in me. You know why? I don't have to know them right now. I'm going to live them.
Yeah, well, I keep searching them out.
Hey, it's not a matter of searching them out. It's a matter of living them out.
There you go.
All right?
I love you.
I love you,
to
too.
To everybody, next week, same time.
Same place.
Inner dialogue with whoever wants to talk. We look forward to speaking with you.
And Tyler, will he be back next week?
We'll be back.
Well, folks, unfortunately, again, it's been the Easter holiday, and it's been a little change up to the schedules here on the weekend and today. But and I apologize not to get Lamas Beauty Hour started today. Again, it has been a very tumultuous week. We've had a lot of situations arise, and we've enjoyed them all, but it has left us a little behind. So give us this week to catch up. We may be a little bit behind on the archives, but we'll be bringing you most of them in probably the next few days. Doug?
All right.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure, Doug.
You might want to say goodnight to your audience.
Good night.
Thank you for having me on your show, Doug.
Keep coming back. Bye-bye, everybody.